Scott.
Thank you. I'm recovered uncured alcoholic. My name is Scott. I meet this group's conscience. Good to be here tonight. I consider myself a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. Every solution-based meeting I walk into, or any meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous I walk into, I'm a member of. That's how I look at it. Orleans Monday Night Men's Big Book was where I kind of was going through the steps, and due to circumstances, these chairs specifically, Tuesday night co-ed Big Book over in Dennisport is where I attend on a regular basis. And kind of thank you tonight for asking me. I'm filling in for a friend of mine who couldn't make it down here tonight. So this process saved my life, you know. And if you're new to Big Book, or you're in the process of your reading or your writing at this juncture, all I can say is when it comes to that, I wholeheartedly to encourage you to move forward with it. It's a life-changing experience. The fear part of the fourth step. You know, I always admired how they were able to, when they put this together, they identified fear in its own particular category. That the resentments, fear, and sex conduct are the three areas which most alcoholics have problems with, and I'm certainly one of those alcoholics. And I always had fear. I didn't really look at it as fear. I didn't know where the root of it was or where it came from. But I was always fearful, and I didn't know. Sometimes I would mask it with doing shit that I really didn't want to do, but because of other people's opinions, I would do things. And fear would prevent me from doing things because of my fear of people's opinions was huge. It was like a ball inside of me, you know. It's hard to describe. I can describe it best. I haven't had that feeling in a long time. Last summer, I was with a friend of mine, and we were going up to High Point on a commitment, and I was on 6A, and a guy ran a stop sign on me. And I could see him coming. I could see the accident going to happen, and I could feel that ball of fear, seeing the car coming at me. And that feeling, if anyone can relate to that, is how I was in my entire life. That always that tension and unsureness about myself and so forth. And if you had asked me before I got into this process what I was afraid of, I wouldn't have been able to give you a clear answer on that. It's really not something that you talk about outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. You don't talk about it, you know, with your friends really. That I didn't anyway. It wasn't something talked about in the house growing up, but it was always there, and I didn't know where it came from. But as I began to write my fourth step, after I got the cause and effect out, I started doing the effects, and self-esteem bracketed with fear, and security bracketed with fear. Most alcoholics, the ones that I've met anyway, have an issue with self-esteem, you know, and my way making myself look better was to act like I wasn't in fear, if that makes any sense to anybody. But I got through the cause and effects, and I began to do the turnarounds. And I believe that's the crucial part of a fourth step. Without the turnarounds in the first part of the fourth step, I'm never gonna find out what the problem is. I had to see where I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid. And after they were all written down, and in these turnarounds, I was never just selfish. I was never just dishonest or self-seeking or friend. I was always all four. You know, every turnaround I did, it came up that way. And I started to see the pattern of my life and how it unfolded over the years in the timeline of my writing on my fourth step. I was directed to go back into my life as far as I could remember, leaving the people closest to me last on the list. So I started back in, you know, elementary school, actually preschool, I remember in kindergarten. I was afraid of being called on. You know, this was kindergarten. What was the worst thing the teacher was going to ask me? You know? But I wasn't present for it. And all the way through grade school and, like, Little League and all the things I participated in, there was fear. And again, not knowing where it came from. But in the turnarounds, it started to become clearer. It wasn't that I was afraid of being good enough. It was afraid that if I did something and I didn't do it well, what was your opinion of me going to be? I put a lot of weight on people's opinions through my entire life. And that goes to my parents, you know, my siblings, close friends, employers, teachers, all through the gambit. It was a constant in my life. And like I hear people talk about the fear of success, the fear of failure. I didn't look at it that way. I just was always concerned on how I was being perceived by other people. And then we got to the fear part of the fourth step, or I got to the fear part of the fourth step. And my sponsor said to list my fears. And if I could remember when the first time I had that fear, I was to put it down on paper. Some of the fears a lot of people probably had were the shocks and heights and things like that. You know, I remember in high school, we used to go to the Quincy Rock Quarries. And anyone who's ever been there, it's, you know, you climb the rocks and you jump to the quarry. I was scared shit. But I did it because of the people I was with. I was so fearful of their opinions of me that they wouldn't like me anymore. I would do stuff like that. And I didn't want to, but I did things because of wanting to be approved of, I guess is the best word for it. You know, and when I was doing the writing of this, I was going through a lot of medical issues early on. You know, I was sleeping like an hour a night, and I had lost my voice completely, and I was like, I had to yell to whisper, and all these different things. So I was fearful that I was never going to sleep again. You know, I was fearful that I'm a salesman. I was fearful I wasn't going to be able to earn a living the way I had earned a living. You have to talk when you know, people would like cringe at me when I would speak before because of the way it sounded. And that was still fear of people's opinions. Fear if I was going to be able to earn a living, you know. Fear if I could stay sober and have a productive life. And one of the fears I wrote down, which tells me in hindsight now that I wasn't trusting or relying on God at this point, was fear this process wouldn't work and I'd be stuck with me. And that scared me, you know. I came in to AA, I wasn't questioning whether I was an alcoholic or an addict. I knew what I was. It was the end of the line for me. I that much I knew, you know. And, you know, early on, I thought if I could be the best little AA there was, everybody would like me. You know, I was going to 4 or 5 meetings a day. I was on every commitment from every group and everywhere. And, you know, at the end of a commitment, you know, people would say, hey, great to hear you tonight. And I would be like, yeah, right. But if you think about it, you know, this is my own feeling now. No one's really listening. They're listening, but they're not really. They're going to say that. No one's ever come up to me yet and said, what a horrible share that was. You know, it's just the nature of it is. But I would focus on the people I knew that wouldn't come up to me and thank me because of fear of their opinion. They didn't approve of me. And it sounds petty now when I look at it back in, you know, from when I did it, but that's where my mind was when I wrote this stuff. And like sitting here in the 2-minute moment of silence, I'm doing the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, and I'm asking God to remove my fears and direct my attention to what is it he would have me be. It says that once we begin to outgrow fear, we commence to outgrow fear. It doesn't say just because I say that prayer, doesn't mean the fear vanishes, you know? See, like today, I mean, in the current, I have fear going on right now. I've had 3 back surgeries in the last year and a half, and it's really altered how I have to live, you know? I don't say it for pity or anything like that. It's just my truth. You know, meetings, I love this meeting, I love Orleans, but these chairs really do a job on my back when I'm sitting here. So I've kind of had to alter where I go and how I participate in Alcoholics Anonymous. Just because you might not see me, some of the people I see in here tonight, at meetings I would see you at all the time. It's not because I don't like the meeting or I'm stuck up or anything like that. I just can't do it, you know? And I get frustrated. And that frustration manifests itself with fear. You know, there's days that I'm good with this. You know, this is what I have. You know, I'm in pain. I'll live with it. I'm not, you know, I'm upright. I'm walking. It's all good. Last night, Ronnie and I went up the Fall River, and I shared up a big book up there. And it was a good night. And by the end of the ride home, I was in a lot of pain. And that brings out fear. What happens when I'm in fear in the present is I react. I get agitated. You know, I don't have the patience that I like to have. And I can see it at work. I can see it in my personal relationships, and I see it when I work with others. And I have to kind of pause when I get agitated and doubtful, just like it tells us in the 11th step. You know, and you know, I believe God's going to take care of me. He has taken care of me. And I believe he will take care of me in the future. And when I have fear, it tells me I'm not in faith. Because when I'm in faith, whatever's going on in my life is going to work out. And I can't see it sometimes. You know, it can blind you. Fear can blind you to the reality of what's actually going on. You know, you know, I've been able to go through things that I don't believe without this process I would have been able to do before. I truly believe I would have drank many years ago if it wasn't for these 12 steps of recovery and being able to tap into a power greater than myself, you know. And they went back into my back in March, and they're going back in again in the fall. And God willing, this one will at least relieve some of the feelings I have right now. You know, about 3 months ago, they diagnosed me with cancer in my ear. They found cancer. And I'm only bringing this up because I remember when the doctor told me, I didn't respond with like, oh my God. It was like, what do we do? How do we address this? And that's how I've been able to approach these things. You know, it's like, I can sit in a chair all day long at a meeting, but I'm not going to get any better by doing that. You know, I could have gone to the neurosurgeon 2 years ago, sat in the waiting room with a dozen or so other people that had similar back problems, and we could have all commiserated on how we felt. But if I got up and left that room, I did nothing to take care of my problem. And it's the same thing with my alcoholism, is what I'm equating it to. This is a program of action. My first sponsor instilled in me very early on to make a demonstration on a daily basis, and you'll get a demonstration in return. He said, nobody will recover for you. He says, nobody will keep you sober. And I understand that today. There's I don't know all of you in this room. Some of you I know better than others, but not one of you has the power to keep me sober. My mind goes to that place, and fear can block my thinking. And if I'm blocked from the sunlight of the spirit, there's no reason that insanity won't return again. You know, no matter how long I've been sober is irrelevant. I am capable of drinking tomorrow. Everybody in this room is. Time does not equate more sobriety. It's a longer length of time. It's a day at a time. You know, after the surgery a couple of years ago, I was unable to really leave the house for about almost 4.5 months. And I had a couple meetings. Guys came over to the house, and we had two big book meetings at the house. It was really nice. But what I learned in that time is I'm not dependent on a meeting to keep me sober. I'm not dependent on a meeting to keep me sane. It's keeping that connection with my higher power, who I choose to call God today. And early on, I was in fear, like, oh my God, I'm this and that. And most of the fears that I wrote down on paper were unfounded. Some of them have been replaced with common sense. There's certain things you just don't do, and that's just common sense. And like sitting here right now at this moment, I have no fear. And being able to talk about how I work through this stuff and get to my favorite part of Alcoholics Anonymous is working with others. To me, that's the joy of this program, is when I'm working with another alcoholic, I am not thinking about me. And the last thing I need to think about is me, because I'm the center of my problem. And when I'm consumed with my own self and I'm not thinking of others, then that's when the fear really crops up. So again, if you're new in here or new to Big Book and you're unfamiliar with what we're doing tonight, stick around after the meeting. Grab one of the guys who's going to share tonight and talk to them. You know, if you give this an opportunity and let this thing do what it's designed to do, it will work. That's it.
Thanks, Scott. Again, if you've completed a fifth step out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and have experience with the step,